Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. Hope you're having a great day. We're having a great day. We're echoing, but we're still having a great day. So we'll turn off our echo machine. And Dave Stoop is with me, and Jill Hubbard's going to be here in just a moment. And what we're going to do today is a little bit different. We're going to go right to the phones, and we're going to talk with Lisa, who's calling us from Dallas, Texas. So, hi, Lisa. Welcome to New Life. Listens on KWRD. Great station there. How can we help today? What's going on?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've only been married a year and a half, and I'm had a big fight last night with my husband. And we have a great marriage. It's just our blended family is suffering, and I know he's miserable, and I need for you guys to help me be different.
Okay, so you have a great marriage, but he's miserable. Now, tell us about that. And
With the blendedness of our stepchildren.
And why is it you're saying that you need to be different? What's that about?
Because we're so different. He is more passive, and I'm more involved and wanting the best case scenario, healthier. And he'll admit this. I mean, he'll say, yeah, she's healthier. She's always into the healthy route, and I'm more passive, and he avoids confrontation. And so I don't want to get divorced because I don't want him to throw in the towel and when I say everything else is great, everything else is really great. It's just his kids and my relationship with them and his relationship with them is suffering.
Okay, how old are his kids and how old are your kids?
So my one child is 25, and my son is very healthy. I'm not bragging. It's just the truth. And he is an only child, so it's different than him having four children.
So tell me about his kids.
They range from 16 to 26.
And how many live with you?
One's left.
And why is this 16-year-old that's left such a source of conflict for you?
Well, it's not. Because his father, or my husband, is very passive with his raising and setting boundaries and chores. And then the other three were a source of contention, too, for other reasons. They get upset that I'm so involved in the child's life that I live with, and like in a healthy way. They don't like it. It's almost like they have an alliance to the birth mother, their mother, and I'm too nice, I'm too good, I'm too involved, I'm too loving, you know what I mean? And that's just I'm a very joyful person, and I love my stepson that lives with me.
Okay.
Well, they're not
used to having someone like you in their lives, right? And your husband has really not parented. Being really passive and uninvolved is not parenting.
Yes.
But you can't parent his kids.
Well, you can't step in and do it all.
No, and right. If you do,
so they're going to object no matter how good you are.
and they'll turn against you.
And you're not in a position to be less loving to one of the kids so everybody's happy. So we'll talk to you about this in just a minute.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Talking to Lisa. Lisa?
Yes.
So a few things that we talked about at the break here that might be helpful to you. The one thing that you could do is back way off in dealing with the 16-year-old that's living there. And what I'm talking about is let him parent him the way he wants to parent him. So if he's a passive parent and it doesn't meet your ideal, don't pick a fight over that. You love him, the 16-year-old, and you continue to do that, but is it really worth the conflict? If your guys are going to divorce, you will have no influence on the 16-year-old. So if he's going to, just don't be critical of his parenting. He needs to be the parent of, and you can function more like the loving aunt who, or grandmother type role, and let him be the dad. Does that make sense?
It does.
I understand that this is difficult because your standards are very different. And we're not saying you're wrong in that, but you've only been in this relationship a year and a half. For families to blend, it takes a good 8 years for families to blend, right? And so this is the typical pattern of the new parent comes in and they're all gung-ho and they're doing great things and everybody resents them. Right?
Especially
why?
the parent.
Why?
It's like what I said, it's not what they're used to. And of course, there's allegiances to their original parents.
Well, it also sets it up that the parent is wrong, is doing it all wrong, and
right.
Bad.
Yeah.
And the new parent, it's deadly. Once you get into a remarriage situation with yours and mine, kids, you got to win the right to be heard, and that takes, as Jill said,
time.
That takes 8 years.
Not just by being gung-ho and really zealous in this.
Just
right?
Love them.
So you have to remember that in a remarriage, the kids were there first. So you have to let them have their relationship, whatever it was. And if he's not being a parent, the 16-year-old needs to say, hey, Dad, I need you to step up a little bit more, right? Because when parents divorce, it removes that buffer between parent and kid, and they have to have their own relationship now. So it does put more responsibility on the kids to ask for what they need. And so you can come alongside and be loving, but you've got to tell your stepson to go to his dad for things.
And one other thing here, you need your husband to say to the kids that don't live there, I want to talk to you about motive. You guys are critical of her, and I want to tell you, her motive is not to make your mother look bad or anything other than she wants to raise the 16-year-old in the best way possible. That's her motive. She's not in a competition with your mother. She's just doing the best that she knows how to do. And I'm going to ask you guys to back away with the criticism.
But he needs to do that.
Mm-hmm. He needs to do that. He needs to step up and tell them he believes that your motive is really pure and they need to support you or just back away from all of this.
You guys need to get into some counseling too, Lisa, because this is typical. It's the biggest problem in a remarriage situation that exists, and it's very, very fixable. And we're giving you some hard-nosed advice, and we're going to send you a book called Smart Step Families by Ron Deal.
Yeah.
It's the best resource out there on building a step family.
And I think it would really help in the short term to tell him you've kind of realized that, you know, you've taken too much of control or whatever, or you've demanded a little too much of him with the 16-year-old, and you're gonna change that, and you're gonna back away from that,
mm-hmm.
and you're hoping that in the absence of that he'll step up and you know do whatever he feels like it. But I would just tell him that you're going to take a different direction.
Well, yeah, that you each have your own style, and it's not your place to criticize his style, really.
Yeah.
You kind of have a side relationship with a 16-year-old, right? You encourage him to go to his dad, but you can also be supportive
become
of
his,
him.
Become his buddy, not his parent.
I don't want you to back away from the 16-year-old. I just want you to back away from criticizing the dad for not doing what you do or what mm-hmm. you think is a better way than passively raising the boy, okay?
Well, I admit, I do criticize that he doesn't step up.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you.
Well, don't.
But I do
don't.
Also...
Yeah, that's a relationship killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also... So the birth mother has an impact, too, negatively. So
okay, of course.
Any advice on the birth mother?
Well, love the 16-year-old. Love the 16-year-old.
Okay.
That's what you do. And
you don't have control over her either.
Because when you're critical of how he's being raised, you're being critical of his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to become what Steve calls the bonus mother. That fills
that
in the gaps.
You're just an added adult who loves him, who's offering good things, but isn't attacking what's already there.
And isn't parenting.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
Does that make sense?
And don't forget this. There's a reason that this is a very popular saying. No good deed goes unpunished. So you have to realize...
It's really true in step families.
that you just keep your motive pure.
Yeah.
Your goal, love well, do your best. And loving well means I surrender my right to criticize.
Yeah.
It'll help. Just that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad you called us, and we'll send Smart Step Parenting or Smart Step Family, Ron Deal. It's a good one. I'm glad Dave suggested that.
It's a good deal, Dave.
Yeah.
All right. Oh,
Ron's
man, I hear your pain, and we feel for you. But, I hope and pray something we've said there is helpful. Let's go over here, and how about we talk to Martha. Los Angeles, California, KKLA is the station. Hello, Martha. How are you doing today?
Hi. I'm a little concerned. I called a couple months ago. I'm mm-hmm. the one that, I don't know if you remember, my husband went to rehab for 35 days. It didn't work out. Then recently he went to EMB. He disclosed that he had cheated on me for these past 16 years that we've been married. You guys advised for him to go to a sex therapist, and whole thing. I did a restraining order because it got a little bit too intense for me and for the kids. So I'm like, restraining order. With that, it helped. He's been 110 days sober from cocaine. However, I wanted to know if when does God just take away all the addictions? Because he does not want to go to the sex therapist anymore. He says that he doesn't look at porn anymore, and that. He's been 110 days sober. He still struggles with alcohol, but he doesn't want to do any. He has a lot of work, so he's overwhelmed at work. And he said, God will heal me. He did recently went to a man camp where he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. But yesterday we talked about like him going to sex therapist, and he doesn't want to do that anymore. He says, I don't see porn. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm 110 days sober from cocaine. I still struggle a little bit with alcohol, but that's where I'm at. I just don't know if I should...
Okay, so here's what I would be saying to him. I would be saying, if you don't want to go to the sex therapist, given all that we went through, restraining order and everything, then let's find a different type of therapist so that you're working with someone. And as for meetings, he needs to be going to meetings because he needs to grow. It's not a matter of, you know, what the Lord did. He still has to do the work to grow in character. Dave, Jill, what do you guys think?
Absolutely. I think this is someone that's now, you know, is fresh into recovery that thinks, oh, that's good enough because now I'm doing good, and thinks idealistically that it's just going to stay that way.
And that God's going to heal the cravings. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he does, but most of the times he doesn't. And if he's bothered by the sex therapist, then get into some kind of good therapy that understands addictions and go to meetings. If you go to 4 meetings a week, it's guaranteed success, just about, from the research. And do less than that, you're going to struggle. But you don't do it the rest of your life. You go frequently as long as you're active in
you go
something.
Until you want to.
Yeah,
go.
The concern, though, is that it's, you know, he might be doing okay now and is kind of on this new high of sobriety, but as soon as he hits a stressor in life, then what? Especially, you said he's not even completely sober if he's still struggling with drinking.
Well, right. He's not in
so
full
he's just,
recovery.
Yeah, he's not in full recovery.
Okay, so here's the relapse scenario. You get complacent. That's relapse. And he's saying, I want to be complacent. I don't want to do the stuff that I've been doing that has worked for me. So that's first stage. And then when you get complacent, you get confused. Oh, it wasn't really that bad. I don't need all this help. And then you start to compromise. That's the next C there. And then, you know, once you start to compromise, then eventually, like Jill was saying, then the big bad thing happens at work, and then the big catastrophe, and now you're back using, and you're going, wow, what happened? Things were going so great. It's because you stopped doing the things that work. So I would be talking to him about relapse occurs when we get complacent and then we get confused. And he is definitely confused. And, you know, people talk about this spiritual experience. Well, every person I know that has recovered has had a spiritual experience. And when it's real, they want to grow. And if it's not the 12 steps, they find 7, or they find a discipleship group or whatever, but they don't just say, I'm going to go it alone. That is not a sign of spiritual maturity, insight, or growth. That's a sign of we're just waiting for the big disaster to happen. That's what that is. So, boy, if I was him, I would just be encouraging him, or I would be, depending on the situation, demanding that he continue to do the things that have been helpful. Don't stop now. All right? He does need counseling, and he does need a program, and he is not recovering if he is drinking. It's just a matter of time. Recovery and therapy helps you so you don't need drinking. It just, or anything. You don't need it. You don't want it. It's not part of your life anymore. I hope that's helpful. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible and a workbook. And boy, they can really help a guy like him get his act together. So that's coming your way. Dave, Jill, anything else you want to say there?
No, just I like what you said. You go to a meeting until you want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
Let's go to Elizabeth, San Francisco, California. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
Hi. Fine. Thank you for calling. I've been wanting to talk to you guys for quite some time. You guys are the best ever.
Well, what would you like to talk about?
Here's my situation and issue that I don't know how to deal with. So I've been married now, married for 2 years. He's an old friend of mine. I've known him since he was 17. He's 58 now. I'm 60. And in the last, we got together about 5 years ago, and he had lost his home, and he had been divorced a couple years prior to that. So we got together, and he went back to school because I had just finished my master's. as well. And then he, you know, was fired up about, you know, this new opportunity. So anyway, he went back to school, got his degree in political science, and he was working part-time as well. So he's going to school, working part-time. And to
okay,
me,
hold on. We're just out of time here. Hold on, and we'll get to the final issue after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and you know, I have never, ever heard of anybody where God worked in their life and produced a miraculous result where they said, you know, I just think we just spent too much time praying about this. You know, it just, you can't pray enough whenever there's brokenness that you're dealing with. And I really do believe, you know, James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other, for the prayers of a righteous person really do produce amazing, amazing things. So I just hope and pray that you'll pray. And then we've got everything possible working for us, anything within our power, and then we're calling on God's power to help. Now, Elizabeth is talking about her husband, who was excited about a lot of things. And what happened, Elizabeth?
So then he was fired about 2 years ago, and he hasn't worked since. Now, he is on the county board of, you know, he's on the board, and he's about to be president, so he's saying finding a new job. He doesn't want to interfere with this, you know, prestigious position, which really in my position, it doesn't. So you have a position. Well, where are you saving money for your retirement? Where are you, contributing more to the house and to our future when we retire? He's 58. I'm 60.
Okay, what's the question
also,
for us?
And I'm a board. I don't know what to do. I want to kick him out and tell him, that's it, done. Go find somebody else that will support you. I can't.
Yeah.
That's where
that's
I am.
Rough.
And I do tell him this. And then he says, I promise I'm going to change. And, of course, he drinks. He's excessively drinking. And then he gets into these depressions. And then, see, and I come from a background where I do whatever it takes to get things done. I don't sit around and wait for somebody to take care of me.
So here's what you do. Here's what you do. You start going to Al-Anon, right? How about that?
Okay.
Here's what else you could do. This Friday night, after his board meeting or whatever, you say, come on, we're going to go and let's go to this open Alcoholics Anonymous meeting together. I think it'd be good for both of us to go. So you quit waiting for him to do something. Because, see, the problem is he's drinking. You've said this. And we have to deal with the drinking. And then, once we deal with the drinking, he's going to start his recovery is going to help him develop some character. And one day he's going to say, I need to go earn some money. But no matter what you do, if he's still drinking, then it's not going to work here.
Yeah,
Jill.
Well,
what do you think?
I get to this place. I'm in this place in my life that I say, you know, then I have to take care of someone else, right? Because I've raised three boys by myself. Now I'm raising two grandsons because the father has left them to me. You know, and now I have to take care of a grown man.
It's horrible.
It kills me inside.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Because I've been on my own since I was 17. I've had help here and there, you know. So, of course, people are the ones that come alongside of you for a little while and then let you off, right? Mm-hmm. They come alongside of you. They help you and whatever, you know, whatever it is for a couple months, 3 months, and then you're on your own again, you know.
That's
my life.
Sure.
Oh, Elizabeth, I'm so sorry.
And for me to take care of a grown man.
Yeah. It's not fair at all, Elizabeth. And he was attracted to you.
Yeah.
Because I'm a mother figure, and then I knock myself out.
Yeah.
Then I say, you know.
Elizabeth, let me underline Steve's Let me underline Steve's suggestion that you go to Al-Anon. Everything you're struggling with is going to be dealt with at some point along the way in going to the Al-Anon meetings, because the super responsible person has to learn how to let go of some of that responsibility, and you can't do it by yourself. And
you need other super responsible people around you
who are, that are calling you on it, and you call them on it, and you're learning things in the process.
Yes. And I wouldn't take care of him. I wouldn't be giving him any money for anything. I would just, obviously you're not going to let your life fall apart, so you pay for the things that support your life. But I wouldn't be overly generous with him in those ways.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I stopped doing that. And then to find out, he lied to me about,
Elizabeth.
Finances and,
Sure. Because that's the kind of person he is. But Elizabeth, you need support from other women. And you'll find that at Al-Anon, if nothing else. You need some people to come alongside you here. This is horrible. Horrible. And we love you. We care about you. And I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I think there's so much in there that's going to help you. And I just hope and pray that he will wake up. But we'll be praying for you. And I'm hoping you'll go to Al-Anon and tell him we're going to a meeting. He needs to take care of that alcohol problem. Mm-hmm.
And tell him you're going to Al-Anon to get help for yourself.
Yeah, right. All right. Really sorry for what you're going through there. You're listening to New Life Live. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have a conference, wish they could go. It's for married couples. It's February the 14th, Valentine's Day weekend. Come join us. It's in Southern California, and it's helpful. It's what we want you to do when you're in those impossible situations. Every Man's Battle's coming up the 10th of January, though. Boy, that can solve a lot. Just go. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. We love being back. We'd rather be back than not back. I'm glad you're with us here today. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And you hear these situations, this is the real deal. This is real life, and that's why we're here. And we sure do need you to help us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can, and it's the same number if you need the help. Why stay stuck? What? Make that bold move, make the phone call, and get the help that you need. All right. How about we go to Stacy, Minden, Massachusetts. Hi, Stacy. How are you today? What's going on?
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, great. So I'm at a point right now where I feel stuck because my husband says either I come home. We've been separated for almost 2 years. He says either I come home or we get a divorce. And we've been separated for almost 2 years crack cocaine addiction. And it started with alcohol three or four years ago. Then it went to that. And then he went to a rehab, and in 2018, he was out of the rehab and did some counseling, and then we started marriage counseling. He went to Every Man's Battle in 2018 as well. And at that point, when he came out in October of 2018, he seemed like he said he understood what he has put me through. Because I've been, you know, supporting myself and, you know, keeping up the finances and all that stuff. And you know, all the addiction, you know, dealing emotionally with that.
Yeah.
And then relapsed. And then, all right, so then it's November of 2018, and he said the same thing. He quit counseling and said, I just want to come home. That's it. Just want to come home. And then ended up back into a full-blown crack cocaine addiction for like 3 or 4 months, 5 months, 4 months, something like that. And
yeah,
he was gone, like really gone. And then got to rehab, you know, gave in and got to rehab in 2019, April of 2019 for a 30-day rehab. And we all thought, gee, you need more than 30 days. But anyway, he worked it. He came out. He was determined. He worked it.
So what's he doing right now? Tell me the status right now.
So right now, we were in couples counseling. He quit again in October, walked away. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I just want to come home. That's it. And so he's really walked away from me. Now he doesn't even communicate with me.
Okay. So what's the question?
But he did agree.
He says, come home or you're going to divorce.
Yeah, and so I mean, obviously, I know I could get a divorce, but it's not what I always wanted, and I'm not sure if that's really what he really wants. Maybe I don't know, but he did agree to see my pastor, our pastor, and so that's coming up in a week or two, perhaps. But he says that's all he's going to say is either I come home or we get a divorce.
Okay,
and he goes to celebrate recovery a couple times a week.
So he's working a program. What have you set up, Stacy, that you need to see before you guys try living together again?
Well, we had a list in our marriage counseling.
Perfect.
We had a list of, you know, stay sober, stay away from the friends, figure out our finances, how we're going to handle that before you come home. Speak respectfully because he has an anger. His fuse is so short, he gets angry so easily.
Well, even this demand is kind of a tantrum, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's like a tantrum.
So it's
he walks away, he's avoidant.
Okay. So, you know, you have your list, and have you said to him, okay, we have our list that we're working towards so that you can come back home. But when you walk away from everything, walking away from everything is not the path to coming home.
We start all over again.
Right?
Right.
So I'm confused as to why you would quit everything and then demand to come home when the path to coming home is by us going through what we've agreed upon.
So when I say that, he says, you don't really get me. You don't know me. I thought you would know me better. And I said, I do know you. You know, that's why I want you to come home. I've said that so many times. I do want you to come home.
That's why I'm not giving up.
That's why I've been working on it.
So when a person like that is working a program, they're not saying stuff like, you don't get me.
Yeah.
Or, you let me come home or I'll get divorced.
Not making demands. Yeah. They're saying, honey, I realize I've hurt you. Let's look at the list. What do I need to do so that we can get back together again? It's a place of humility, not King Baby demanding mommy come back home. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've got here. It's very sad.
Right.
And so I would... now, are you going to meet with the pastor with him? Or not?
When he sets it up. He set it up once and had to cancel it, and so he's supposed to set it up again. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I would just do anything you need to do to go to that, and bring your list with you. He says, you know,
I
want a divorce. Go ahead.
Could I say we did meet one time, and the pastor did tell him that you need to make a decision. Either you want to work on this marriage for life, or you do need to let her go, is what the pastor told him.
Right.
So we were supposed to, over the 2 weeks, 3 weeks, make our decision. But when I talk to my husband, that's what he says his decision is.
Well, here's the deal. Your husband has divorced you because the drugs are more powerful to him than his love and commitment to you. So the question is he going to undivorce you, or is he going to go ahead and fill out the papers to complete the divorce?
Right.
He's not the priority here.
His
drug, his recovery, those are the priorities. And how he feels and the demands and all are from a man whose ego is greatly damaged and whose awareness of reality is greatly damaged also. So you very calmly, you say, well, here's our sheet. Mm-hmm. He knows what we need. I'm totally willing when the sheet is completed. I want to come home. I love this man. I'm committed. But I'm not going to come until he's done the sheet.
Yeah.
Just that simple.
And it's when, when he becomes demanding, you know, you can't trust him.
Oh.
And I got to tell you, once again, this is one of those situations where if you go to the marriage intensive, it can change everything. I'll send David's book, Smart Love. But the intensive, it's just bizarre how
I'm
powerful.
Like, who's David?
Dave Stu. Dr. Stu. Awesome.
Dave.
And, anyway, we'll get that to you. And I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back also, and I'm so sorry for what you're going through. We do have these workshops. They are
I know,
powerful.
And that, it would be good because you get other men, you know, in a group setting, and they will challenge him, unlike sometimes how they do outside of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it'd be good.
That's February 14th. Every Man's Battle is January the 10th. Restore Hope for a Woman's Heart. That's February the 28th. These things are life-changing. We're so grateful to all our supporters that allow us to do these most incredible weekends. We just are blown away by the kind of help that people get there. Finding Freedom is July the 24th. Call us. Let us help you. We want to help. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Emily from Concord, New Hampshire. Hi, Emily. How are you today?
Hi, thanks. I was wondering about how to rebuild a relationship with my siblings because we've grown up in a really dysfunctional family, but and I'm the oldest, and I've been really open with them about all of the, I guess, the process of healing and coming to understand why things are the way they are, because I've been in counseling for a couple of years until lately. I just ended, and I learned how to set boundaries with our mom, who has always been very dramatic, very angry, very controlling. But it was a Christian family, and like my parents are just very unhealthy, but it was very religious, and like my mom's anger is not like how people usually think of anger. It's more like this babyish, childish, like she's very helpless. She doesn't know things, and my therapist right away said she matches Cluster C personality disorder. Like, she's the textbook of it.
Okay.
But my siblings are so angry with me for boundaries.
Okay, hold on.
And I just don't know how to move forward.
All right, we'll give you some help right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to be here for a very long time, but we absolutely can't do it without you. If you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, hope and healing for broken hearts and homes. That's why we are here.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back with talking with Emily, and her family may get a nod to most unhealthy, and, you know, she's been healthy, got some boundaries. They don't like that. Jill, why don't you start us off here? We were talking at the break about what might be possible.
Yeah, we were talking about different ideas, Emily, and it sounds like, okay, like you said, they're all upset with you for the boundaries that you have put into place, and that, you know, disrupts the equilibrium of the family dysfunction, right? Because you're doing something different instead of just going with the usual rhythm of
things.
And
it's amazing how loyal they are to the family dysfunction.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when people don't see it. So I guess I wonder if you've had conversations with any of your siblings individually, and we were also thinking of the idea, would your siblings ever come together to have a discussion kind of about your growing up years?
Kind of like
is that a joke you're laughing?
Well, so I tried that in June.
Okay.
I had begged them for like half a year at least, and then finally we did. You know, they kept saying before that that I was just going to feed them all these lies, and, you know, I'm always trying to twist what really happened. And but we did, and it was like one of the most, I don't know, like unreal, like Twilight Zone experiences of my whole life, because like, our mom has bulimia, like, my whole growing up, and as the oldest in a homeschool, very enmeshed family, I was always, like, you know, trying to help her through the bulimia, or she was very suicidal, and she would always say things to me, like, and I don't think she said it to my siblings, but she would say, I just wish I could kill myself, but I can't leave you. I just wish I could go. I hate your dad. I hate everything. I don't want to be here, but I want to go. And, you know, but it would always end with, but I just can't leave you. But my siblings, they didn't have that impact that I did as her confidant. But then at the same time, they saw the binging. They saw all the purging days. They saw her anger and irrational stuff. But they just don't. They just normalize it, you know, and I never did. I've always been so on this, like, kick until lately to fix mom and fix dad and be good enough so that,
you know, they When you got together, you said it was unreal. What was it like?
What happened?
Well, because I would say things like, you know, mom's always, you know, the bulimia. I have, like, all of this fear of food, and I'm finally getting healed of being afraid of food. You know, and they were all like, what? How can you say that? That is slanderous to say that our mom had an eating disorder, you know. And it's like, she'd been in front of us for years.
All right, so getting everybody together for a discussion probably isn't going
to help. You'd have to screen them first.
Yeah, so what do you think are her options here, if any? Does she have
She could meet with them individually and just talk about, how did you experience mom, and listen for a while, and then add her picture in it, and at least get them started thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, in military strategy, pick the weakest person or the one who's most likely to see it your way first, you know, might be a really wise thing to do.
But I think you have to do a lot of listening, Emily. You can't go in with, I'm going to try to convince them and win them over. I think you have to say, you know, it's common that people growing up in the same household often have very different experiences. And I realize as the oldest, I had an experience that maybe you as the youngest or as the middle child might not have had. And I'm curious about your experience, and really hear them. And as you're hearing them say, so for you, it was like this, and it was like this, and you saw mom this way. That's so, and just kind of marvel at that. That, you know, thank you for sharing. That's so fascinating to me that you saw it that way, because my experience was so different. And I'm really trying to make sense of our family. Right? Because you've got a lot of people in denial who are invested in keeping it the same. So the goal initially is that you just become the sister that just wants to hear and understand. And you maybe say a few things about how your experience was different. But just say, you know, because of that, I feel like, you know, we've had distance between us. And yet I realize we each need to handle mom or the family in our own ways. And yet I want to have a relationship with you. And I'm wondering how you and I can bridge the gap between our differences and try to make it very relational.
I'm glad you called. I really think you're onto something there, and it sounds like it's not a strategy you've tried before. Let me send you Healing is a Choice. I hope that that's going to be a blessing to you there, and we'd sure like to know if this this strategy of going one-to-one might be a good one for you. Let's talk to Larry Sonnenberg. Larry's in the studio. Larry, yes. We're at the 19th day of December. We're getting close, and we need some help from our folks.
12 days left for year end, and I want to appeal to our audience to respond as the wise men did, not necessarily just as the angels did or the shepherds. You know, the angels. The angels responded with singing, and the shepherds responded by telling everybody what happened. But it was the wise men that gave gifts. And so I'm just going to pray that we have a bunch of wise people out there in the audience, because we don't
need frankincense or myrrh.
No, the gold will work.
Yeah, the gold will work.
But really, it's the heart of the wise men that said, "Let's take gifts. Let's give during this time of year. Let's celebrate." That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Just it was a grateful answer. And they weren't even the people of the same faith, but they came and they gave. And so I just am encouraging people, think about everything you have seen, heard, experienced at New Life. Think about your life that's different, somebody you know, somebody you've heard from here on the radio. And just think about the ripple effect across the friends and people of influence and downline generations to come. What could be better to give to? There are all kinds of people seeking support at your end, charitable organizations. And I'm not here to put any of those people down, but I'm here to lift us up and to say there's nothing better you can give to than New Life and what happens here.
And Larry, we just talked to someone who said, "I used to only give to organizations that fed hungry children." And, and he said, "Then I realized how many children they're eating, and they're eating with their family because New Life has kept that family together." And then that's when he began to support us. Please help us help others, and it's keeping families intact, keeping them together, because we know when divorce occurs, I mean, it's just one of the worst financial things that can ever happen to two people. And so we've really done well with our workshops and being able to find a way to keep folks together and loving each other. We just need your help. That's
Steve,
all. So if you can, do it.
I've mentioned this before, but it was the phone call from the mom that said to me, "I'm just calling to say thank you because my daughters are having a different experience this Christmas. Their dad went to Every Man's Battle a few years ago, and he is a different man. He's loving on those girls like he never has before, engaged with them." And she said, "That wouldn't have happened without New Life." And so thank you for that.
And we feel so grateful that we get to do this in this way. But we can't do it without you. We need lots of help. So if you can, just give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Everybody on the program supports the program because we've seen the radical results when people make a choice to get better. We just want to be doing that, be here for when that choice is made for a long time. Thank you, Larry. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE. Call us. Help us if you can. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Jill. Thanks to all of you who listen, watch, and support. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.